Good morning, everybody. I don't know what kind of technical problem we're having out there, but obviously we're having an overwhelming number of them, for which we apologize to those who are listening online. Quickly, I want to finish something on Philippians that Robin was talking about here. And I want you to understand one point, and I don't know for certain how to describe the difference between Timothy and Epaphroditus, but the thing that comes to my mind when I see the difference there is a very common mistake people make. We think when we're making up the difference for other people, rather than requiring of them to do that which they're supposed to do, that we're serving God. And of course, we get lifted up in pride in the midst of it because we're working so hard and making up the difference for all these people and the like. And it's not of the Lord. Parents, we do it with our children. We do things for them rather than letting them do it because they have to learn and it's easier. Ministers do it for those who are under their authority because we think we're loving them, when the fact of the matter is actually provoking them to do that which they're supposed to do is the more loving thing to do. But Epaphroditus didn't do this thing knowingly in that place, and the Lord had mercy to him, and the Lord had mercy on Paul and had mercy on the Philippians here in covering for them and allowing them to recover. But I share this with you because a lot of times people judge those who do require people to stand up and do that which they're supposed to do because they think they're being mean and they're not full of grace and they're all of these different types of things. When the fact of the matter is people have a misunderstanding of grace. And I want to go into that a little bit here this morning. I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 for a moment. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now this goes and segues nicely, without me even thinking about it, with what Robin was just talking about over there in Philippians, because he says, "Thou therefore, my son." And what was it we were just learning about Timothy? He served Paul as a son does his father. In the gospel. He gave up his life entirely. Timothy had a natural father. We hear about his grandmother and we hear about his mother. We don't hear anything about his father, and I don't know anything about his father. But what we do see is that when Timothy came to know the Lord, the first thing that distinguished him out here, above all the other brethren where Paul went, because Paul wasn't the one who ministered the gospel to Timothy. But when Paul came through, as you read through in the book of Acts, Timothy was recommended unto Paul by the brethren. Because Timothy was already a disciple, Timothy had already submitted himself unto authority and had demonstrated himself faithful. And so when Paul came through, Timothy was recommended unto Paul by the brethren. Here's a guy who was different. He was different. When he came to know the Lord, he readily submitted himself unto the line of authority and served in that capacity. That's the relationship that Robin was talking about with Abigail. Abigail had a husband. But David was the Lord's anointed. And therefore she made herself his handmaiden. A handmaiden is a servant. It's the female equivalent of a bond slave, one who gives up her life for another. And she, even when David was despised, even when David was being chased, even when David was a vagabond in Israel. Let me ask you, doesn't that sound a little bit like Paul, the apostle? Wasn't Paul despised, and wasn't Paul a vagabond, and weren't people constantly coming against him? And yet Timothy chose to cleave unto Paul and to serve Paul as a son would serve his own father in the gospel? Do you think that made Timothy's natural father happy? There's no mention of Timothy's natural father. I mean, he could have been dead for all I know. You know, what do I know for certain? But there's no mention of him one way or the other. The fact that Timothy went forward and served Paul is an extraordinary thing in that way. I mean, think of how many people have come through this ministry, just this fellowship. How many people have come through this fellowship? How many people would have chosen to serve Davey as they would serve their own father? And when we say that, mind you, folks, I want to give you a very different picture than the picture that exists in America today. Because the picture that exists in America today is parents are, you know, when children work, it's their money. And parents take care of everything for them, right? They take care of everything for them. And anything they earn is their money. That's not the world that this word is written out of. This word is written out of, if you made a penny, it was your father's. If you made anything, it was your father's. Abraham Lincoln was a good example. He was 18 years old. His father was still hiring him out to people to work, because he was a good worker and he was strong, and they hired him out, and every penny Abraham Lincoln made went to his father. Not a single penny went to him. Very different world. So when we're talking about here serving another as a father, I mean a son unto a father, that's the concept of service we're talking about. Where you give yourself up wholly unto that person and are wholly dedicated unto them. Isn't that what Joshua did with Moses? Isn't that what Elisha did with Elijah? Now, I shared with you from this perspective, but that's a very different perspective. It's a very, very different perspective than most people ever even dream of. Ever even are aware of, let alone do. So I want you to understand that's what Timothy did. Timothy wasn't looking for what it was, what was in it for him. He was grateful to serve Paul. Grateful. There was no greater honor than to be Paul's minister. You follow what I'm saying? Very different perspective. Now, I want to take you over to that 2 Timothy said, chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I wanted to hit on this. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because we're doing a 2 Peter Bible study. Some folks may have listened to it this past week. And it goes through and it talks about how Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, the word servant there is the same concept of servant I'm talking about here. The same concept that existed for Abigail. Where you give up your life to another. And you give it up in total disregard of your own self-interest. All right. And Peter there is talking about himself as being a servant unto Jesus Christ in that capacity. And then in the household of God, the position he held was an apostle. You might think in a Lord's house it might be butler, the guy who's over everybody, all the other servants in the house. But he's still a butler. There's still plenty of people out there who, you know, have their own things, have their own lives. That butler has given up his life for that master. You follow what I'm saying? And he occupies a very important position in that household, but doesn't change the fact that he's a slave. Given up his whole life for that other. Now, how does this have anything to do with, now therefore my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what we're talking about over in 2 Peter, excuse me. I want to turn to 2 Peter here for a moment. And trust the Lord, he can bring these things together. All right, I'm going to start reading from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And as Richard went through on this on Tuesday night, you've received, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, if you believe that God raised him up on the third day for your justification, that he'll raise you up too, if you believe that he will give you his spirit, if you believe these things and have received these things, then you're a person who's of like precious faith. And the like precious faith is that like precious faith in the gospel that Peter and the other apostles had. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And we know that that knowledge, which is the multiplying factor of receiving grace and peace, is a proper and correct understanding of Jesus Christ and his word. According as his divine power hath given unto us, that is the apostles, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, that is the knowledge of Jesus, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Glory and virtue, the word virtue there is the same virtue that we see that Jesus walked in when the woman who came up and touched the hem of his garment and she was healed, and he said, turned to see, you know, who it was that had touched him, because he perceived that virtue had gone out of him. But I want to carry it down. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these ye, that is those of like precious faith, might be partakers of the divine nature. He wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature, not your corrupt nature. He wants you to partake of his nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that really is the operation of God at water baptism. And then you walk in it by faith. The water baptism, you, your soul and spirit, are translated out of your cursed body and into the body of Jesus Christ, which is free of that curse, so that you can walk in him. Now, this is building to exactly where I want to get to. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And this word virtue here is what I wanted to get to, because it's also that whole part of stand strong that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That virtue is you stand up and take your place in the body of Christ and walk in it. Now, when you're taking your place in the body of Christ, you are ministering in his divine nature. You have left your corrupt nature behind, and you are ministering to the person before you in his divine nature. Remember the revival we had like a year and a half ago, which was about how without him we can do nothing? All right? But in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. And what the problem we have is we slink back. We refuse to stand in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We refuse to stand in the divine nature. We refuse to do these things. Why? Because we see ourselves as being small. Well, hello? Of course we're small. Remember Davey talking a couple years ago out there in Texas at the minister's meeting, and he talked about, you know, maybe I'll get small enough that I can fit through that eye of the needle. Remember? Anybody remember that? Maybe I get so small, be so little left of me, I can fit through that eye of the needle. So, let's fit through. Let's get really small. You follow what I'm saying? It is not about your smallness. It is not about your sin. See, grace is there to cover so we can press into and occupy that place he has called us to. All right? It's so we can press into that place. It's not an excuse every time we fail. See, what happens is people use it as an excuse when they fail. And then And the reason why they use it as an excuse when they fail is that they can fail again. The whole purpose of using it as an excuse is, oh, well, I'm just a sinner. Oh, yeah, I'm just this. Oh, yeah, I'm just that. So, is that what Jesus is? Is that what the divine nature of God is? See, grace is there to cover us as we strive and fail. Okay, and so that we can learn what held us back. Epaphroditus here learned what held him back. See, that's why it was mercy. See, it was mercy. God was merciful there. Why? Because Epaphroditus was wrong. How can I be wrong? Look what all the things I'm doing for you, Lord. These people are such lousy good-for-nothings and I'm making up every difference. They may be lousy good-for-nothings and you may be making up every difference. But is that what I called you to do? Is that what I called you to do? Or did I call you to provoke them unto love and good works? Oh, but wait a second. When I do, they might not like me if I do that. So what? You follow what I'm saying? So what? See, we got a wrong idea of grace. The purpose of grace is not so we just keep doing the same things and making the same excuses. The purpose of grace is so that we can learn from our mistakes and go forward. Now, we might make the same mistake 100 times. Don't hear me wrong. I don't mean to say that the grace is just there once. Oh, why didn't you learn it last time, stupid? Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Hear me loud and clear. I am not saying like Peter did. How many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? See, I was just saying 2. Peter is obviously far more advanced than me. He says, up to 7 times, Lord? If I do that, have I really done great? No. Unto 70 times 7. You mean I got to learn multiplication too? I can't even count 490 times with one person. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine keeping track? You know, having like those little stick things where you do it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you imagine? I mean, if we were doing that, I got 489. I only have to do it one more time. No, that's not what he wants us to do. All right? We bear with one another. One, because, see, people don't get this about grace. They don't get this about grace. They don't get that God's calling them to walk in the divine nature. See, it's so far from your own experience. So far from your own experience that the idea that you can do it seems like the impossible dream. We need a little Richard Harris or whatever, Camelot, you know. I apologize, I won't do it because I'm awful that way. Or maybe he was that other guy, Robert Goulet or whatever we used to get back. For those of us who are 50 or older, we remember Robert Goulet, okay? He used to be a fixture on those old variety show things. But you follow what I'm saying? I mean, we see it as something that's impossible. And what a minister's job is to show it that it is possible. Why? Because the minister does it. And it's like lighting a candle. All right? It's like lighting a candle. Christ lit Paul. You follow what I'm saying? He lit Paul. Paul lit others. And the idea was that at the end, everybody's a candle that is lit, a flaming fire that can then light others. And how is it that you are that? You are that by what Christ is able to do, not by what you are able to do. What holds you back that way is, see, that's pride that wants to be able to do it in yourself. You want to have something you can offer that's of you. And that's not what it's about. The only thing we can offer, we say, lift Jesus higher. Well, let's lift Jesus higher. How do you lift Jesus higher? You walk in Him. You walk in Him. And when you walk in Him, people can now see Christ Jesus. And when they can see Him operating in your life, then they can have hope for themselves. So look, folks, that's what our job is to do. Our job is to not shrink back. Our job is to not let all our shortcomings, failures, mess-ups for however long. I don't care how long it's been going on. Robin was up here talking while we were trying to figure out the technology mess-ups that were completely messed up and seemed to not get any better. Something about, you know, 30 years, I think I heard her say the word, or at least 30 years. Who cares? If it's 30 years that way, whoop-dee-doo. What difference does that make right now? And when you make that decision right now, you know what that 30 years is? Praise God if that Lord bore with me for 30 years. And you know what it does? Is it gives your testimony of faith unto others' body. And it gives it reality grounded in a life that, hey man, look, I may be speaking to you urgently for your sake, but I want you to understand, as much as I may be speaking it urgently for your sake, it's because the time approaches and it took me 30 years to get this. And unfortunately, there's not 30 years for you to get it now. But if he could bear with me for 30 years, he can certainly bear with you through the stupidity you've shown. Certainly can. So let's go forward together. Amen.